You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, Sonwabo Kila is the Managing Director of Sonwabo Audiovisual Productions. And I think that's just a snippet of Sonwabo Kila and the many things that he does. And he joins us this evening as our Shapeshifter. As you know, Shapeshifter is a segment where we reflect back on some of the people who are leaders in their industry as we kind of take stock at the end of each week to say, where am I going? And I believe he's joining us on the line. Mhlekazi, good evening.
Good evening to you, my brother, and good evening to the listeners of AWR.
How are you doing today?
It's been a long day.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be home.
Yeah.
Finally, I'm getting to rest a little bit.
You want to share, pray tell, a little bit about the day?
Today was full of meetings with clients and lots of video editing.
Yeah.
In the mail.
I see.
Had lots of screen time.
I see. But all good, I suppose.
Yes, I would not complain. The Lord is blessing us. We're grateful for every piece of work that we get to do.
Fantastic. Now, this is a segment where we reflect on people like yourselves, you know, talking about where you started, where you are. And I suppose for young people that look up to you every single day, I mean, this is a segment. Some might not even have an opportunity to ask you a question. This is exactly that time. But I want us to then go back, Babu Gila, to say, when people ask you, like I said, I don't think you need an introduction, but when people ask you to say, please tell us a little bit about yourself, where do you start? What do you even say?
It depends on the context.
Oh, okay. Adventist and context.
It always depends on the context.
Yeah.
Relevant to my entrepreneurial background.
Though. Yeah.
Sonwabo was born in Duchwa,
okay,
which is a small village in the Transkei.
Yes,
but like Nazareth, it's big enough for Kabombeki to have been born there. So that's where I come from, and I usually say to people, I was blessed right from the onset.
That's beautiful.
I was born of a middle-class family with both my parents in business. So summarily, I was well taken care of. I have not needed anything.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. And I do you for some of our listeners who might not know, and I call it I do you, you know, joining that frenzy there. Can you describe a little bit about the town? I mean, I've been there, but for some of our listeners who might not know it, you know, what does it look like and what are some of the challenges, especially that you faced growing up there?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, Idujwa is a small village. Say, for instance, if you travel from Port Elizabeth and you're trying to get to Durban, or you're traveling from Cape Town trying to get to Durban, you will go past cities like Port Elizabeth, East London. And just after East London, where there's an airport, it would be Butterworth. Butterworth is where you find Bethel College.
Yes.
Past Butterworth, then is Dujwa. There's only one set of robots in that town.
Oh, okay.
One set of robots by the post office.
By the post office.
Two KFC. But it's just two KFC outlets.
Yeah.
And only one set of robots.
One street. Town is one street.
Well, one main street, because if during the doy days, if we lock up the street from one end of the town, cars from Durban could not go past,
Yeah.
and cars from Cape Town could not go past.
Yeah, that's
And
true.
so after Dutra, it will be Mthatha.
Yes.
And Gunu will be before Mthatha,
Yeah.
where Mandela was born.
Yes.
So small as it is quite significant
Yeah.
in terms of the South African history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, I was quite cushioned when I grew up. Remember, we were part of the former Transkei.
Yes.
And to be honest, we were shielded then from apartheid. Because one of the beautiful characters of the homelands at the time was that there were only a few, shall I say, people of the other color, and the majority of people were black.
Yeah.
And even those that were among us who were not black, were so integrated into the communities that we never felt the difference. So for the most part, we were cushioned. I will hasten to say, though, that because my parents had spent about 38 years in Gauteng, I've always had strong relations with the Gauteng side, even though I was born after they had moved to the Transkei. So on my own volition, I caused my own suffering by visiting Gauteng more.
In that
At the
cushion
time
that you
of
had, here you are in
moving
Gauteng
from a comfort zone into the fire.
Yeah.
And I do think that the advantage of that, though, would have been the experience I got of the real South African experience.
Yes.
That's where I got to understand how bad the system was then.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if I had stayed in the Transkei,
You
I would
wouldn't
not be the kind of person I am really.
That brings us does bring us then to that question, because I mean that cushion
Yes.
that you got, how was it, I suppose, influencing you into the type of person that you are becoming? But in hindsight as well, would you say that cushion has made you who you are today?
Definitely. To start with, my parents were both in business. My mother being a homeopath, a naturopath, and my father a retail running a retail business. So from then, the entrepreneurial spirit was sort of interested in me.
Yeah.
My mind is not made up yet on whether one innately becomes an entrepreneur or out of parental influence or societal influence.
I see.
Because in my case, I must have gotten it from home. I think I have
Yes.
it in my genes.
Yeah.
Part of the reason is that from an early age, whilst I was at junior school,
Yeah.
I started running a photography business.
Yeah.
And later on, when I moved to high school, and then I got to Bethel College, and then I met Butincedisi Ngozwana, who was the piano player, and he owned a PA system. That's how I first learned how to operate a PA system. Further to that, I later on became a teacher. And whilst I
Oh.
was doing that, my younger brother was working for the SABC,
Yes.
and that's when I learned how to use a video camera.
Yes.
And then I saw an opportunity of bringing these three elements together, the videography, the PA system, and photography. And I started my own business way back then in the year 2000.
Bring all these elements together.
Bringing all these elements together, however informal that would have been. But I attribute all of this to that kind of background, because I truly learned business from home.
Okay. And in terms of your professional career then, I mean, let's go back to that. Was that you know, your kind of first move into professional career space, or, you know, from high school, what was your trajectory, especially in your mind? Where did you see yourself?
Oh, well, in my life story, there is a black spot. Briefly, I spent about 3 months in prison.
Ooh.
On trial.
Okay.
After which, in fact, during that time, I had all the time to recite all the verses I had ever heard or I had ever read. I had all the time to sing all the songs from our hymn book. And out of that experience, after the 3 months, I was ready to become a pastor. I wanted to become
a pastor. Okay. Okay.
And because I had been at Bethel High School,
yeah.
I after the 3 months, then I went back to Bethel, and I wanted, in my heart of hearts, I wanted to be a pastor. But because I had been away from church for a while, just like the prodigal son,
yeah.
I had been away from church for a long time,
yeah.
And I did not have a church that would vote for me so that I would then get admitted into the theology program. That's how I ended up being a teacher.
Here's a comment here, Babu Gili says, halala, prison to pulpit. but let's stay there on that 3 months in prison. If you don't mind me asking, what was the trial on, or what was the issue? And I suppose, how did that change your perspective?
It was mere mischief. Because remember, I said I when I grew up, I never needed anything.
Yeah.
But because it was fashionable at the time to get into mischief.
Yeah.
Stealing, you know.
Yeah.
Car theft and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I got involved in that kind of mischief, and I unfortunately was caught.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And, yeah. And that 3 months, how did it change your perspective?
It was my own Damascus experience.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Like I say, part of what prison will give you or jail will give you is time. It gives you time without any responsibility. It gives you time in a sheltered environment, but with nothing else to, but to reflect. So that's the biggest benefit I got from there.
Sure.
I call it my Damascus experience.
Yeah.
It's my own prodigal son kind
yes.
of experience. That's where I had time to find myself. And I was ready to go back home and say to my father, please forgive me.
Sure.
So Damascus, I got admitted
to
the education program at Bethel.
Yeah.
I then became a teacher for about 10 years then thereafter.
Yeah. And that 10 years of teaching, how was it?
Yeah. I enjoyed being in class. But I was frustrated with being a teacher.
Okay.
Because being in the real world of
yeah.
teaching was totally different from a controlled environment that Bethel would have been. I was mentored by very good teachers. Remember, I was in an Adventist theology
yes,
college.
Yes.
And so the kind of education that I would have gotten there was then not matched by the real experience of being a teacher in the real world, especially because I was a teacher in a government school. Things were completely different, the resources, the environment, and the stature. And the stature of teachers in society, the lack of respect that teachers suffered with parents,
yes.
and the learners themselves.
Yes.
So it was a complete disjuncture for me. But I still enjoyed teaching because I do that even now. One of my biggest strengths is that if you teach me anything, then you would have taught a whole number of other people, because I can train a whole lot of people.
Sure. And I suppose, like you said, you're using that today, and as you meet with other people as well, you do that type of a thing. Challenges that you've faced so far. I mean, I'm sure, as we know, you multifaceted, you're not only a singer, like I said, you're a teacher. All these things, some of the challenges you've faced so far.
All the challenges I've faced have sort of been self-inflicted in
Ooh,
the main.
Okay. Sure.
They have all been self-inflicted. I mean, I grew up as a young fellow, grew up in a middle-class family. I would not have needed anything. But there I landed myself in jail, right? I grew up and sure. I had a good job right from the beginning, but I did not have the wisdom or use the wisdom that I had on managing my finances, which would have taken me time to get to where I am today. You know, hence I'm saying all of the suffering that I would have gone through has sort of been self-inflicted, really.
Yes, yes. I want to come back to
the was good.
Yeah, I want to come back to the finances there. But before I go there, you're saying the challenges were mostly self-inflicted. My question is, in those self-inflicted moments of your pain and challenges, why did you not give up? What kept you going?
My life was spared for a reason. My life was spared for a reason. It is no wonder that I later got involved in the music ministry.
Yeah.
My path has always been guided, even when I did not realize. Even not giving up had not been out of my own wisdom. The Lord has always made a way to shelter me and guide me towards my purpose. Because, as I say, there was everything that would help me to prosper.
Yes.
And at every turn, at every right turn that I made,
yes,
the support was there.
Yes.
It always had been upon me to make the right decision.
Yes.
So even when I had gone wayward, whenever I made the right decision, the support was there.
Yes.
As it had always been there. That's why I personalized the story of the prodigal son.
Yes.
Because when the son came back, the father was ready to welcome him home. The father was ready to give him a new robe. The father was ready to put a ring on his finger. So if even in my foolishness, whenever I made even the least correct decision, I would find support because it had always been there. So even when I found myself and I went back home and I told my parents I wanted to go back and study, they were still supportive. So sure. I did not have a reason to give up. I'm one of those children who should not have struggled.
Yes.
Had it not been for my own foolishness.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Sure. That's quite deep. That's really quite deep. I'm going to come back to this one. Music. Where did you now discover that one that... I actually can sing. Yours does. Lots of people are like, I can sing. So they're like, no, but awukwazi ucula. And the person's like, no, I can sing. And then they stand in front and we are all like with our red pens, you know, with Adventists. We always have these red pens like, hey, yeah. With you, what made you discover that actually this is what God has called you to?
It started way back early. I must say. All right, to start with, one of my uncles is Winard.
Okay.
Khalakhala.
Yeah.
If you Google Winard Khalakhala, you'll find that he was well known as a composer.
Yeah.
And so the musicianship or the musical talent, if you will, comes from my mother's side. In fact, the overarching artistic element in me comes from my mother's side. Because I later on went to study film production and sound engineering. So that's why it would not only be music, but an all encompassing, artistic element. But it comes from my maternal side. And then from then, my mother was the leader of the youth group in our village. She was the one that would teach us songs right from and so I would be part of the experimental group. She would take a few of us, try out a new song before she goes and teach the bigger group. So it became clear from then. But then I was blessed to get to Bethel College.
Yes.
Yes. And there's a beautiful story behind that, because I was beginning high school in Dujwa when one of the learners who came from Bethel, I understand that her parents could not afford anymore the fees at Bethel. So they brought her to a government school. When she got there, she was my deskmate. And she found me there, and I used to love to sing. And then she would always say to me, if you love to sing this much, why do you not go to Bethel College?
Yeah.
And I did not know about Bethel College. I knew nothing about the place.
Yeah.
But she kept on encouraging me to go to Bethel College. And she would tell me what kind of place this is. Until I told my parents about it, and they took it upon themselves to get me a place at Bethel. Now, the same Brahmeti Goswana that taught me how to use the PA system. We used to play tennis together in Dujo. But the strangest thing is that every Saturday he would not come. Even if we had a big tournament, he would not be available. But we did not know where he would be. Now, when I eventually got to Bethel, the very first Sabbath that I attended, he was at church playing the piano. So that was my first realization of why he would have been absent for tennis tournaments on Saturdays. Now, there was something in common between myself and him. He was a tennis player, and he was also a musician. So he was excited to see me at Bethel, and he took me under his wing. Manza Mdagan, the son to Pastor Mdagan. We used to play tennis together. I didn't know that he was Adventist. I didn't know he was a musician. I saw him and I met him at Bethel. And we clicked in there. And so the music thing was nurtured. The very first song I did as a soloist, is Well With My Soul. That arrangement was done by Ubudu Ncedi Sibosana.
Sure. It is Well With My Soul.
So Bethel College has a special place in my heart. And I could easily say it has made me what I am today.
And if you look at back, especially the singing, the teaching, and all the other stuff, and running your own business as well, like you said, it's almost like the entrepreneurial bug has always been there. What is the one highlight that you say, this was at my highest peak?
On which one? The music or...
If you take a comparison of everything, I'm sure there's that one event, you're like, I signed, for instance, a 10 million rand deal. This was my highest. And I'm thinking, because, hey, we talk about money on this show.
Listen. My story is a unique testimony of purpose and passion coming together and working very well.
Yes.
I So for me, whilst I am a musician, which I find it difficult to call myself, I do sing, but I would not claim the title of being a musician. I think for me, it carries a lot with it. But I do sing. If you say I am a music evangelist, yes, I will take that. But being a musician is sort of a bigger title for me, right? So I think the highlight for me has exactly been that the coming together of what would have been my passion in terms of the technical skills in audiovisual production, whether it be video production or sound production, and then the music, the music ministry. God giving me practical tools to make his vision come to fruition. That has been the
The
highlight for me.
highlight.
It was not necessarily an event, but it's something I am in awe of every day. And I'll tell you, it's one thing that sets me apart. Because remember, soloists have never been taken seriously, especially in Nigeria. They've never been taken seriously. Singing solo would always be a way of reprimanding those who made noise during a music day. Yeah, you're busy making, you come and sing a solo. It's not that. It would be for those who have probably ulterior motives, who want to shine on the day. They would want a slot to come and sing a solo. And sometimes that song will be ill prepared completely. Some people who had backtracks, you would find the backtracks with backing vocals, American backing vocals, and a South African live lead voice. And the sound technicians did not know how to treat the backtracks and the live voice. So soloists were never taken seriously. But because the Lord had blessed me with technical skills, I would visit churches bringing my own PA system. And I would set it up in such a way that what people would have heard on the CD is able to come out when I visit the churches live.
I mean, I must be honest.
So,
Yeah, it's one of the most
yes.
frustrating thing when you listen to the you know the mastered
Recording.
version.
Yes.
And then you listen to the person live and you're like, ah, yeah. What did I get myself into?
It's the biggest problem that musicians suffer because not all of us are technically
Technically
inclined.
inclined,
Yes, some of us may not even be able to articulate what they would like. So they are completely at the mercy of whoever is volunteering on the area of the PA system at church, whom in their own right are not necessarily trained technicians.
Yes,
They are just
that's
helping
true.
out or
That's true.
out of interest.
I want to ask this question before we wrap up. My question is, how would you define your relationship with money? I'm sure you've had nice moments with money where you look very like, yeah, no, I was fine here, you know? What would be your relationship with money? How would you define it?
If I had started earlier, being more modest in spending, I believe my tithe would be bigger than it is now. Yes, I wish I had started much earlier to put aside more than spending. That's one thing I learned only later. Yes, this is also it can be attributed also to the fact that I grew up in a family where there was stuff. So when I started being independent, I wanted to have my own car very quickly. I wanted to have my own this and that very quickly, and it would not just be a startup, a
Car.
starter pack type of
Yeah,
car.
like a real
I
car.
would want to start at what I'm used to, that my parents would have accomplished. because they had been working for a while. But because of lack of wisdom, I would not understand that.
Yeah, sure. That's really interesting. Now, if you were to then go back a couple of years back to your youth, what advice would
Yes.
you give your younger self?
Yeah. If I had known, if I had known that right from the beginning, life is most serious, and there is no time for games. If I had known that from the beginning, I would not have wasted my youth. I think the biggest mistake that young people make these days is to think that they still have the advantage of time. That's why, for me, the song that says "We know not the hour" has even a more serious meaning. Because we always think that we still have time. We always think that there's more years ahead of us, and we spend whatever we have carelessly.
Yes.
So if I had known much earlier that life is more serious than anything, and there isn't time to play around.
Sure. There isn't time to play around. I want us to close with that song, "We Know Not the Hour." So I'm going to play that song after this last question that I have. And that is, in 30 seconds or less, what would you do differently if you were given an opportunity, I suppose, to restart maybe your career, restart, you know, the teaching? What would you do differently?
No.
Mm.
I believe everything that I've been through was preparing me for who I am today.
Okay.
The only thing I would change is how I use the resources there that would have been at my disposal.
Yeah.
The only thing I would change is how I would have used the money that I would have made out of all the tools that I've been given. But
sure.
As for my trajectory, I would not change anything.
You are blessed.
I have picked up a lot along the way.
Yeah.
That even alters my attitude towards those who are still far from the Lord.
Yes. Sure.
I know that one can start from prison. And then one day they can become a preacher of the word.
I know that one can start from prison and be a preacher of the word. Would that be your message to your followers?
Yes, it is.
Mm.
One can start from prison and end up the preacher of the word.
Sure. And lastly, how do people follow you?
I am on all social media platforms.
Yeah.
As Sonwabo. Gila.
Yeah.
I've recently started using my surname.
Okay.
Skeptically so.
Okay.
For the longest of time, I've gone as Sonwabo.
Yeah.
Even if you look at my CDs, they all carry my name and not my surname.
Yeah.
Because I needed to be sure that I will not bring disgrace upon my family name.
Yeah.
It's only now that I am confident to put the Gila together with the Sonwabo.
Yeah. Sure. That's beautiful. That is Sonwabo Egila across all social media platforms. Clegas, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us. I mean, I've written a lot here on my paper, just as reflective moments on my own life and kind of taking lessons from your own life as well. So really appreciate your time this evening and may God continue to bless you.
Inkosi ta.
Siyabulela tata.
Siyabulela.
Inkosi.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.